The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Thanks to Kerr's Hire, time for the Cat Attack Podcast, AFLW style. And gee, this is one with a difference because, Renee Gehring, as we welcome you, we get to finally talk about the joys of victory.
We certainly do. And hey, Kingy, no, very pleased off the back of the weekend to have our first win. I think it's been said by anyone that you've talked to in the game, I'm sure, that we probably weren't as pleased with our performance as we have been previous weeks, but you get the win, the 4 points, and ultimately lots to continue to take out of it, but very pleased the whole group was up and about.
I reckon there's an argument that it was probably actually the worst performance of the year compared to the other four.
Oh, compared to the other four, like we've been building and there's been things we've been really proud of, and I think we just went away from it a bit on the weekend and looked lucky to come away with it, what, a minute and a half to go, and West Coast scored a goal to put them in front. So a credit to our girls, and that after that, the next bounce, we're able to counteract that and get back on top. And that's something that probably we haven't done in the past. So that's something that we can take out of that and take into the future. But, yeah, certainly not content with how we played.
Yep. The initiative of Becky Webster to take it on out of the middle really created it in the end, didn't it?
Oh, it certainly did. And we know what she can do when she when she drives her legs. So really proud of her to take that on. And then obviously for the girls in the forward line and Darce down there to get in a good position to make the most of what was potentially a quality. She almost marked it, but then there was the girls front and centre to keep it in there, which was great.
Started so well, a couple of goals up at quarter time, and then even at halftime, Phoebe kicked the goal after the siren, I think made the margin 8 or 9 points, which is a nice little buffer based on how the scores have been in AFLW. But what happened in the third quarter that sort of brought the Eagles back into the game? What was sort of the coaches picking up that you had to rectify?
Look, I think our fundamentals, just basic execution of the little things, just invited them back in. And the West Coast, credit to them, their pressure was great. And we knew that was going to be the case looking at their previous games, that they're a high-pressure team, as we are. But, yeah, our fundamentals and execution of kicks, handballs, just brought that pressure on, and then they were able to make the most of it and get the scores against us on the board.
Yep. There's just some old habits that I think at times reverted into when that pressure came too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think it's – yeah, we know the style we want to play too, and I think went away for that a bit on the weekend.
Yeah, a little bit – well, and maybe a bit different too, because I think it was the first time you'd led at halftime this year, and I suspect that maybe that mentally plays on the girls' minds as well, that, oh, hang on, we're in front and we can, you know, we're a legitimate chance to win this. Not you weren't in the other four, but when you're in front at halftime, maybe the mindset changes a little bit as well.
I don't know, to be honest. I wasn't out there and talking to girls. It wasn't like there was a distinct moment in or change in their thinking. Yep. But I think there's certainly been enough talk about around and training through what we do want to do and reinforcing those things and what we know we can from those previous games. So that'll be the focus this weekend and moving forward, because I don't think the girls walked off with obviously the winning feeling was great, but the reflection on the how and the process went away from it a little bit.
The skipper was quite emotional post-game. Were there others that, you know, and for some it was their first win wearing the hoops. For others, some have played in, I think it's all seven now, but because they've been so rare over the first four seasons, I suspect they're really enjoyed, and the club allows you that opportunity to enjoy them for, you know, a certain period of time.
I think definitely. It's I heard a stat during the week around how many losses we'd had at home previous to this game, which that in itself, that feeling of walking into the rooms and when you've had a loss compared to when you've had a win is very different. So I think that's going to come with emotion. I think probably the game in itself, if we had have continued the way we played in that first quarter and continued that lead, potentially might have been a different sense of emotion to what it was in the end, because everyone was thrown into this, we're about to lose with a minute and a half to go if we don't do something here. So probably that dealing with what you process in that moment of almost letting it go is slightly different to a confident win where you, by so many goals.
Yep. Sliding doors, isn't it? Because we were in the media box. There was a couple of journos up there and more with a Geelong bent than anything else. And we were like, oh, no, please no. And then to find the goal, I suspect that would have been a similar feeling if you had lost that one. Like, oh, no, you're kidding, aren't you?
I think so. I think it would have really hurt, especially, I suppose, the last few weeks we've walked away being like, we were in it, could have won it, should have won it if we did a few things and corrected a few things, but played the way we wanted. We were focused on the process on the weekend, I think, maybe because we weren't playing the brand and doing the way that we'd hoped, it would have hurt a lot more, I think. And when it was within grasp and for with a minute and a half to go to allow a team back in, I certainly think it would have hurt.
You're off to the Gold Coast this weekend. Well, actually, off to the Gold Coast Friday now. So that's actually changed. So if you're only finding out the news now that, and it was always going to be on the cards because anybody who was looking at the AFLW fixture would have seen that St Kilda was drawn to play Friday night off a three-day break. That's never going to happen. I think four's probably the minimum the AFL will play a team off. So they had to make some adjustments. The smart move, you guys, were coming off a week's break. I think Gold Coast off a six-dayer after playing Melbourne last week, if I'm not mistaken. So you go up Friday to take on a Suns team. And talk about sliding doors. If Charlie Rowbottom says she's doesn't want to go to Queensland to play her footy, she's probably wearing the hoops.
Yeah, look, that would have been nice too, I'm sure. We would love to see what she brought to our side. But look, no, it's going to be we're looking really excited for the game ahead. And slight change in plans. And look, we're kind of used to that now, I suppose, week to week, facing that things might change and fixturing and things like that have to change based on different situations and borders and things like that. So, the girls are ready to go. We've had a couple of good sessions already and one more to come. Apologies for my dog in the background there.
Is Tony home or somebody robbing the house?
Yeah, no, it'll be my husband getting home from work. That's our warning signal that there's someone near the front door or that one of us is home. So we're still working on that. He's 7 years old and, he's certainly...
Still a pup.
We say he's still a pup when he does that. But that's the only thing. He's well-trained every other aspect. It's just the loud barking that makes him difficult.
When's Tony going to make a cameo? Just poke his head in and say hi.
Oh, look, hopefully not tonight. I haven't told him I'm here, so I'm sure he'll hear me chatting away and he won't stick his head in. But, my apologies. So Friday night game, we're excited, ready to go, understand with the fixture. And look, I think the AFL's doing a great job in adapting. Obviously, with the West Coast, that's been something that's been they're adjusting and learning with what they can do. And great to see a couple of teams are able to head over there, and West Coast and Freo have done a great thing in being away from their homes and families and work for that period of time. And, good couple of games to get in over there, which will be great for them to have it hopefully in front of a home crowd, potentially. I don't know what I haven't looked into their protocols and processes as yet.
That'll probably mean an adjustment for the following week because you're due to play Fremantle on a Sunday afternoon, but I can't see the Dockers coming back here and it's a home game for Geelong, so you won't be travelling to Perth either, I wouldn't suspect. So there'll be a different opponent potentially.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. Again, that's something that we'd had on our radar that when Freya was heading home, there are teams going over there, but whether that's what we're asked to do or whether they redo the fixture and adjust it so that Freo gets their home game against a different opponent, we'll wait and see. Obviously, it's been week to week in the changes they've made and there's still teams getting equal number of games in, which is interesting when you look at the ladder and someone's higher than someone but they haven't played as many games. Yep. So, they'll equal it all out by the end of the season and we'll just go with what the plan is when we find out.
Wouldn't it be nice? And I don't know what the fixture looks like for the rest of the competition, but obviously we missed the Bulldogs earlier in the year. But the other one is we've never played Melbourne.
We've never played Melbourne. We've played them in a couple of practice matches, but not played them in season. So, look, they're in fine form. But we'll prepare and then, look, we find out the games and whether it's a few days out or a week out, I know our coaching staff will do what they need to get their research done. And you're learning more and more about opposition and opponents season on season. So they'll be ready to go and prepare us as best they can when we need to.
So you're obviously involved with the team. You've got an hour fly to the Gold Coast on Friday. Is it up and back or do you get to stay overnight?
Yeah, it's up and back. So we were due to play Sunday, so I was trying to plan prior to that, well, getting back at 2 a.m. in the morning, work Monday and thinking about asking for maybe a sleep in on that day. Wouldn't be too fresh in front of the students otherwise. But, then it got switched. So same thing, just asked for the day on Friday, and really lucky that my workplace is flexible. Some girls have to take it's hard. Some girls have to take leave or adjust or do a shift on a different day and those sorts of things at last minute. Or families got to get organized.
Maddie McMahon, looking at you.
Yeah, exactly right. That's it. So sort the family out, and but it'll be a full day. With the fly in, fly out. A few clubs have already had to do it. Certainly a pretty late night and to sleep on Saturday and be very exhausted, I'm sure.
Tony won't expect much out of you on Saturday.
No, he's actually coming up to the Gold Coast with some friends, I think. So he'll be staying and I'll be coming home. Oh. So I know, he'll be living it up, actually, having a good night's sleep while we fly back.
Oh, but harsh.
Yeah, hopefully after a win and sleep easy on the plane.
Yep. A couple of players that won't be making the trip. Firstly, we'll touch on Darcy Maloney that sort of snuck through. I remember the tackle, and I remember saying to some media colleagues going, well, that's not ideal, but it in the end proved not to be ideal. She's been done for rough conduct on Emma Swanson and will miss a game, which is a massive blow because Darcy's form, I think averaging nearly 13 possessions a game, looks a completely different model to what she was in season one, and I think she's benefited from the VFL and then another pre-season in terms of her body shape and adapting to AFLW, and of course, obviously, being the hero last week. So it's disappointing she doesn't get to roll on from that.
Oh, for sure. And she actually talked about it on our the Cats podcast, the Catterboxes, during the week around her mindset and approach. And I'm sure she'd say herself, if this had happened last year, how frustrated she would have been, and might let it impact her training and preparation for the next game. But she's well and truly worked on that aspect of how she's going about things, and she's up and about at training and building each other, the other players around her up. So really positive. Obviously disappointing. We all want to play as much footy as possible, and there's been things that have impacted that for various players with ins and outs this season. But she'll keep working on the track and look forward to having her back after the week off.
Yep. We'll probably never get a player again on the Cat Attack podcast when we talk AFLW, because we had Annabelle Johnson last week, and the news has come to light today that this is Wednesday, that she has suffered a fractured foot, a left foot. No surgery at this stage, but I think that's being looked at as a potential mechanism to help with the rehab process. But that's a massive blow. She's played some really good footy through her 3.5 games before she got injured.
Yeah, it is really disappointing. Bells, she's played really well. We've talked about that last week with her on the podcast, and her growth's been phenomenal and what she's brought to the side, and she's a really important part of our team. So she'll certainly be missed. We're lucky. We've got, again, girls knocking on the door for selection, and it'll be up to the coaches in terms of who steps into that role to replace Belle, but she'll certainly be really missed in the remainder of this season. But we're confident that, again, she'll do her rehab. We joke with her about working on the guns, and whoever goes into rehab comes out with bigger guns, Nina Morrison being a fine example. But, well and truly, she'll do the work, and look forward to seeing her back on the ground once she's able to, after the rehab that's required, and once the specialists decide what's best for her in that area. But I did say to her, maybe she'll have some more time to come back on the podcast.
Oh, lovely.
She's in good spirits, but disappointed, as you would be.
Yep. Hopefully we might see her at some stage in the VFL season, which will run through to July. That was going to be a nice segue, but we'll talk VFLW shortly. We just want to touch on an inaugural Cat, or somebody who was on the initial list that did take her, might have been her second year on the list that she finally got an AFLW game, and that's Hannah Birchall. Unfortunately, has become another ACL victim. Ocean Grove girl, really well loved among the Geelong group. I know that, but was let go and got an opportunity with the Tigers when they formed. She was only on the list for a year, wasn't she? First year, 2019.
Yeah.
And then went to Richmond. Yeah. So he must have played the second last game of the 2019 season. Massive. Yeah, just really disappointing. And you could see the look on her face as she came from Witten Oval that, she knew the worst.
Yeah, it's really your heart breaks for when people when it is that moment and when it could be potentially a serious injury that puts you out for any stint, but for the long period of the 12 months approximately that it is end up being. And it's not just the flow of missing out on footy. Like, she's been a consistent part of that Richmond side and plays her role in the wing really well. And yeah, to miss out on that for the remainder of this season, and then if that flows into next season as well, and then work life too. If you've been messaging during the week.
She's a paramedic, isn't she? Is that right?
Yeah, paramedic, yeah. So obviously that has an impact on what you can do or can't do at work as well. So she'll have to figure out and get the support there.
Yeah, because if we're starting the 2023 season in December 2022, that's probably 8 to 10 games gone for her, unfortunately. I'm guessing the season will be pushed out a little bit further to obviously allow for that December start. But that's almost missing two seasons, isn't it?
We never know. I'm sure they're going to continue to do what they need to do, and everyone's rehab looks slightly different. But again, she's a great character, and she'll have a laugh along the way. But yeah, you feel for her and for all those others that have faced that.
VFLW. Oh, we wish Hannah good luck with the rehab. She's lovely. I've known Hannah for a while, and I've even shot her a message myself, and she got back to me and said thanks for the support. And I'm sure that we echo the sentiments of everybody involved in footy, that we hope Hannah has a good rehab and is back as soon as she possibly can. VFLW kicks off this weekend, which is fantastic news for a bunch of Geelong girls who haven't had a look in this year. And I think of the girls that names haven't even appeared on the emergency list this year. So that's Steph Williams, Olivia Barber, Carly Ramos. Danny Higgins has only played the one game. I suspect some of these girls are crying out for a proper competitive hit out, and they're going to get it Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. I was talking to a few of them about the game on the weekend. They did a bit of match simulation on Saturday. And had a few opposition. So Collingwood had a few.
Collingwood's in players, didn't you?
Yeah. So they kind of felt like they said it was nice to have some opponents that got a lot of opposition. I think the way they set it up, that the AFLW listed players were on opposition players, and the VFL were mixed through. But yeah, to actually have a proper game day preparation, get out there in the hoops, I think that'll be really important for all our girls that aren't selected this week. And for the VFLW, it's really exciting as well. The last game they were preparing for, and I was one of them, we were preparing for a grand final and didn't get to do it. So I think all those girls that remained on this year as part of the team will be raring to go. It's really exciting to see it up and running, I think, down at Deakin, which would be great.
So with two players confirmed out of the AFLW, Maloney and also Johnson, that means two will go into the AFLW team. So it's 21. That leaves seven players potentially, depending on other situations. I'm guessing there'll be a carryover or two flown up Friday. They might have to come back, get back early Saturday morning and front up to Deakin Saturday afternoon.
Look, I think, it'll be up to the coaches, but player management and preparation is something that we really pride, and you don't want people doing an injury because they have had lack of sleep and so forth. So I think that'll be something that's considered when they decide what the emergencies do. But we'll certainly have people coming up, whether it's one or two, coming with us away if needed.
Yep. With the testing, you'll test before you go with the RAT. Do you have to test when you get to Queensland as well?
No, so it's just before we go. So we do it every training night, and then we do it the day before to let the AFL know that we're good to go, and then the morning of to double check that we're right to fly and so forth.
Yep. And you get to be like a rock star.
Yes, that's it. So that'll be the continuation on, of all the travelling for all the different clubs. Just rocking in straight to your flight and, arrive straight to where you need to go and then same thing back on. Very nice. Yep.
So the VFLW list has been confirmed. 18 primary listed players, 9 development listed players. Just some new faces that caught my eye. Bella Hill, who won the AFL Barwon Division 1 Best and Fairest, has come onto the list, which is fantastic. Bella from Ballarat originally, found herself at Grovedale, won the medal last year and gets herself a VFLW chance. And Andrew Bruce has confirmed to us here at K-Rock that she will debut on Saturday.
That's great to see. We actually haven't had too much crossover with the VFLW girls as yet, but I'm really looking forward to seeing them out there and meeting the new faces as well. One I do know well is has been training with the group, Mel Bragg.
You stole my thunder.
Oh, sorry, King. Do you want to give a big prelude to that?
No, it's all right. We'll talk more about her. But what are you talking about?
Mel obviously has been a really strong netballer over the several years and had been on the Collingwood Super League netball list, and then getting delisted as part of that, it coming on. I mentioned to her, I've been in arena about footy for a while, and when that happened, I was like, footy's there, and she finally said yes and got her down to the club and been having a really good kick around, and I think feedback I'm getting is really positive. So looking forward to seeing what she'll do against a true opposition.
Yep. What position would suit her at football level?
Well, I haven't seen her training. I think more back line. Yep. I think we might even see her through the ruck. She can jump and she's really athletic, but depending on opposition and things like that. But I think, somewhere off the back line, I think the way she reads the ball through netball, she was a bit of a wing defence, goal defence.
Yep.
And I think that will carry through potentially in the way that she plays footy. But,
cool. Among the other names, great to see Em Ramsey back on the VFL
list. Great to see Em back training. Obviously, was part of the inaugural VFL through the VFL and has had a bit of time away just playing local footy. So good to see her. Elise Coventry, I don't know if you got her on your list.
I did see Flinny was there.
Yes. So Flinny, hopefully we'll see. I haven't seen who's playing this weekend as yet or if it's been decided, but hopefully she'll be out there this weekend or in coming weeks, obviously coming back herself from a baby and spends a lot of time with us at training as one of our coaches, development coaches. But, also on the sides doing her VFL training herself and I believe one of the line coaches, a bit of a playing line coach role.
Yep. You've got some role models, haven't you? You've got Darbs, you've got Flinny that, once you're given birth and you start preparing yourself to play footy again, I suspect, what worked, what didn't work. I know individuals are different, but they'll be able to give you some sort of guide as you work your way back into it.
Yeah, definitely. It's actually good to have seen that and so close. Obviously, you see it within the competition. There's a number of players that have had children, but nice to actually talk to Flinny and Darbs and their perspectives on how it goes and things that are more challenging and not. But to see that it can be done is exciting.
Yep. The 9 players on the development list, 6 of them are Geelong Falcons. And actually one of the primary listed players is a Falcon too. That's Annalie McKee. And then there's another 6, including Charlotte Simpson and Lizzie Dowling, who has been a train-on player at the Cats or a training partner at the Cats. They've moved her forward at the Falcons to, I suppose, show the draft AFLW recruiters, this is what she can do. She's kicked 11 goals in 3 weeks, 4 last week after a 5 the week before, and has maybe been sighted at GMHBA Stadium.
She has, yes. No, we have seen her training. Our train-ons have been in and out depending on their other commitments and so forth. But, she's been training with the group lately and training well and obviously playing well within the Falcons. So it'll be great once those girls obviously balance the Falcons and that NAB competition and then obviously into the VFL once able or in and out depending on balancing things for the teams.
Now, if you like your women's footy, it's a good day at Deakin because at 11 you get the grand final rematch between the Falcons and Oakley and then at 2 o'clock the Cats and Carlton. So, good day down at the Deakin precinct.
That's it. Well, it is always good down at Deakin. It's you can spread yourselves out around the boundary. There's plenty of boundary to stand around or sit around depending on what you're after.
No social distancing issues there.
No, not at all. No, it is great like that. So, hopefully we'll see a good support down there for round one.
Will you get down there for the VFLW girls, no doubt?
I'll plan, definitely plan to. Quick sleep first and then then get down to support the girls.
The bad thing about the Gold Coast trip is you pick up an hour going there, but coming home, what's a 2-hour flight really becomes a 3-hour flight.
Yeah, that's it. But no, we'll work it out. At least being Friday night, we've got the weekend to recover before most people have work and things like that to get back to on Monday.
All right. Are you happy to take some questions, Renee? We've had a couple. Daz Broncos, who you know well from your K-Rock days, always tweeting. Great win by the team. So good to see it come to fruition. Really hope we can keep the group together another few years as the development is really exciting. What are the expected rules on the new expansion teams and what effects will this have on list retention? Can we keep the group together for the most part? That's going to be the challenge. I believe the clubs have been given some sort of guide.
Yeah, I haven't read the ins and outs of what they've been granted at this point, but I believe there has been in terms of pick selection or access to players and things like that pre-signings. So remembering back to when we were when we started, we could have some signings before the draft even came about. So I'm assuming that will take place as well for these new expansion sides.
Yeah, you would think Essendon and Hawthorn are the worry, Port Adelaide and Sydney are not as big a concern in terms of, unless a girl's keen to jump to Adelaide, go and live in Adelaide, or keen to live in Sydney and the very, very expensive living that comes with living in Sydney.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I think so. Within Victoria, obviously people are setting up their lives at uni or work and things like that. So if we were going to, hopefully we don't, but if we were going to lose players to other the expanding clubs, then you would think it'd be closer to home, those that have got connections. But, yeah, again, we hope that everyone's enjoying the time, which I feel they are, and want to stick around for what the next season will bring.
Daz Broncos, he was a massive Liv Purcell fan. Of course, she's no longer with us, but he's moved on to another Olivia, and that's Liv Barber. He's got Liv Barber watch entering week 7. It's actually week 6, Daz. It's only round 6. Yes. How's Liv tracking? I'm guessing if she's not on the plane, she'll be running around Saturday afternoon at Deakin.
Yes, yeah, definitely. So, again, obviously we've got our final session of the week tomorrow night, and selection will be decided upon post that session. But again, I think, like I said last week, she's continuing to build and put her hand up. She's taking some really strong marks at training and putting some pressure on that forward line to put her name forward. So, I'll have to wait and see. I haven't got the answers there, but I think she's continuing to do the work to push for her spot.
Yep. And he puts Jordy Ivy getting some time in forward 50 has been very successful. Great left foot skills, like it. It just provides something a little bit different.
It certainly does. She's a really a physical player to play against, and her intensity is elite. She's been doing a bit of both in the last couple of games, a bit of time forward and then a bit of time supporting our backs as well. She's just really versatile, and we love what she does, and she continues to bring the heat on her opponents and provides us options. So look forward to seeing her to continue. Well, obviously, she hit the scoreboard a few weeks ago, but seeing more of that as the games go on.
Winty, with the VFLW season starting up this weekend, we have touched on VFLW. The girls who are on the fringe of the selection for the AFLW side, looking forward to potentially being able to have a kick of footy in anger on Saturday. So, yes, outside of, without giving away state secrets, but outside of Johnson and Maloney, I don't know of anybody else there's an injury issue for, unless there's one obvious I'm missing.
No, I think that's it everyone's training well and fit and healthy, when you look at compared to some of the teams across the league, we're in a really healthy position, which is great. And I think it's a credit to our strength and conditioning coaches and the physios that are continuing to monitor players and so forth. But yeah, to have nearly everyone available at this point in the season is great.
Yeah, and the Johnson injury is just a freak of nature. That's nothing you can control.
No, exactly right. So, I think disappointing, as we've said, but, the players have been prepared really well for the season, which is great.
So fingers crossed, 7 AFLW-listed players running around in the 22 or 23 that will play Saturday afternoon. Also, Renee, who do you think will be the next Fuller, Gunjaka and Johnson out of this year's VFLW crop?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I need to see round one before I can probably give an answer. Not having seen a few of the new players that have come in to the competition and to our side this year, so maybe ask me next week. I'd like to give you a good insight there. I could have picked Bell from those first couple of games.
Yeah, wow.
And Gunj, I think that was one of her first games of footy, and she stood out.
Yeah.
Same thing with Gunj, and I think Fuller probably in the back end of the season was more when we started to see the work that she can do within the ruck and playing alongside her, the work she can do off the ball and, outside of hit-outs as well was great. So, yeah, I need to see the girls in action and then I'll come back to you. Yep. I think Mel Bragg's going to be competitive.
Yep.
She's just competitive at everything she does. So she'll be one to look out for potentially.
You're taking that question on notice then.
Yes.
Yep.
Thanks.
Good stuff. All right. Hey, I reckon that wraps us up. Safe travels up to the Gold Coast. Enjoy the sun. At now 27 weeks.
26.
Girl.
26. So yeah.
Rolling into the. Now, did you check whether it's third trimester?
There's different websites. 27 and 28. I'm going to say 28 because. They say third trimester gets worse, like you feel worse. So if I say it's 28, tell my body you can't start feeling worse for another couple of weeks. That's what I'm going with. So.
And it's going to be warm over the weekend too, isn't it? That 30, you must have been wrapped to see a 37 degree day on the forecast.
I know. Yes. No. Certainly feeling the heat, but that's all right. Push on.
Oh. Hey, Renee, always a pleasure. We'll have to work out maybe a player for next week. I'll have a chat to the powers that be at the club and see if we can snaffle somebody and not let them know that we spoke to Belle before she got hurt because nobody will want to come on then.
No, I'm sure they'd love to come and have a chat, King, always.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.